secular, it's an old axiom, a constitutional violation doesn't get better with age.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
You see the way through your cynical eyes, you're a troubled young man, I can tell.
This is not a president who wants to work with Congress. Rather, this is a president who is openly defying Congress.
And to those members of Congress who question my authority to make our immigration system work better, or question the wisdom of me acting where Congress has failed, I have one answer. Pass a bill.
I understand the president's frustration, but given the results of this past election, I kind of wonder whether this was the appropriate way to do it at this time. So if he'd been asking my advice, I would have advised him, look, why don't you tell the new incoming Republican leadership that you're going to hold off for 90 days. Give them a chance to do whatever they can do. And then if after that period of time they just can't do anything, well, then go forward and do what you need to do.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Sometimes when I talk to immigration advocates, you know, they wish I could just bypass Congress and change the law myself. But that's not how democracy works.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
As I said in the beginning of the broadcast, constitutional violations don't get better with time, and the longer this goes since the president's announcement on executive action, I think the worst it's actually become constitutionally for him. Not only is there not a substantive basis upon which the president acted, but if you read his Office of Legal Counsel memorandum, which is the legal authority for his actions on immigration, you see in there that the lawyers prefaced their statements by saying you cannot use executive action to change or nullify the law. And you have to have a certain procedure put forward, a procedure which really the president could not ever institute. And that is for this to be legal, as executive action, you would actually have to have the ability for a case-by-case determination. That's according to the Office of Legal Counsel. So the White House lawyers, the president's lawyers, his departmental lawyers say you've got to have individual action, not a blanket grant. And in reality, there is no way to do individual action with 4.7 million people. And when the realities of this start coming forward, there's going to be a big hearing next week at the Judiciary Committee. I can't go into details now, but there's going to be a hearing next week at the Judiciary Committee. I think, Stan and Jordan, the reality is the American people are waking up to what this is.
That's right. And they're starting to see, I think, the longer term implications of what this means for presidential power, for good or for bad, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on politically, that this sets up the president really this ability to suspend laws or and change the way laws apply to people who, again, and it's not just about the immigration issue. This is more, and this doesn't provide a pathway to citizenship. It's law enforcement and who really determines the scope of how our laws are executed. And, you know, the president's job is to take the laws that are passed by Congress and faithfully execute them, not change them as he sees fit.
And then what are the politics at play at this? In other words, what happens when Congress is back next week?
It's going to be front and center immediately starting next week, Jay. Now, some of what we've been talking about, like the funding piece, is going to take more time to roll out. But I think for the starters is what you said. It's going to be Chairman Goodlatte of the House Judiciary Committee, this hearing that he's announced on Tuesday. It is going to take a direct look at the constitutional problems here. I think that will set the stage for all of the other things we're talking about. It will talk to why Congress needs to, go to the funding issue. But you've got to start with the constitutional argument. That's going to take place on Tuesday. I definitely encourage everybody just to tune in for that.
Yeah, a lot of announcements coming on that one. All right, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air about this. And it's really not a question about immigration. It's a question about really presidential authority. Do you think the president has his authority in his or do you think he's misusing it? Again, if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Hey, we've got a petition up on this. It's really straightforward. It simply says, don't fund the executive action. 14,000 people have signed that petition already in just a day. We're encouraging you to add your name as well at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. If you want to take a stand against a presidential overreach, do it at aclj.org or 877-989-2255. And folks, don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we're getting a match for aclj.org to make that matching gift. aclj.org, become part of our team.
Oh! In what can only be described as a historic power grab, President Obama acted alone, bypassing Congress, turning his back on the Constitution and the rule of law. He's moving forward with an unconstitutional immigration plan, changing the law by executive fiat, something that he does not have the power to do. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why drastic action is needed to stop the president's unlawful immigration order. Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We have a, by the way, you need to be liking us on Facebook, folks, and sharing information. We are right now approaching, between mine and the ACLJ's, about 2,400,000. Jordan's got over 40,000 followers, or maybe more than that now, on Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSekulow. And Jay Sekulow Band has now got a Facebook page. I think we're up over 10,000 likes on that and growing as well. And that's where we're going to post the music. So, again, we encourage you to engage on our social media to stay engaged on these issues. We've got a lot of calls coming in. Let me again say, folks, we're in a matching challenge. The last few days of the month here, very critical for us in November. So, aclj.org. To support the matching challenge, 1-877-989-2255. You can also use aclj.org or 877-989-2255 to sign on to the petition as well that is up. Again, aclj.org or 877-989-2255. Jordan, let's go right to the phones. We got a lot of people calling in.
Yeah, Barb called in from Nebraska online too. Barb, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Barb.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just want to say that Obama comes across to me as being very arrogant. He has a my way or the highway attitude that I see, and I don't think that his immigration reform is legal. And
Well, it's not immigration reform. I mean, first of all, anybody that would step forward on this is not guaranteed anything. I mean, they're not. The president said this is a deal. Here's what he's. Listen to his own words here, number nine.
The actions I'm taking are not only lawful, they're the kinds of actions taken by every single Republican president and every single Democratic president for the past half century.
You know, the Constitution actually lays out that naturalization issues and immigration are controlled by Congress in Article 1, Section 3 of the United States Constitution. That's number one. Number two, and I think this is also appropriate, the president's plan is no deal really for these illegal aliens at all, Jordan. I mean, it's not a deal. It is a deferral at best.
Well, it's trying to set up a precedent long-term that would be difficult for a president to reverse, possibly when it comes to the political ramifications. Now, in the future, the actual details of trying to reverse that's very simple. It would take a signature by a president. So we're talking about no long-term solution to the illegal immigration issue and the people who are already here and the people who may have family members that are citizens or legal residents, but they're not. It's a temporary reprieve. But for political reasons, you could see down the road, and you see this with a lot of the president's actions, even with the health care law. You put something in place that may not be great, and it may not work so well, but the implications of trying to repeal it later on become very difficult. So you see, even with Obamacare, everybody's saying, now, okay, but what happens next? Even though it's not working, they get very worried when the government starts changing its policies again. You could see with this issue how it would be more difficult politically to change this. So the president implements bad policy, and then it makes it more difficult in the future to get rid of it. And so I think we have to look at this as a long-term change in presidential power and in the way we implement our laws if we don't do something about it quickly.
So, Than, let's talk about kind of the check and checkmate here of Congress. What do you anticipate?
Well, listen, it's going to start next week with that constitutional argument. And George, Jay, I think that constitutional argument has to be made in order for the procedural ask that we are making to go forward. That procedural ask is a funding one. Next year, when Congress funds the government, we want to say this portion of what the president wants to do, the portion that costs money, you know, the issuing of identification card, the paying of staff salaries to review applications, all of those things have to be paid for, and Congress has to issue that money. We are saying that Congress should very narrowly not fund those items. But in order to be able to do that, Jay, we first have to demonstrate how the president overstepped his bounds. That's what's going to happen next week at the House Judiciary Committee.
Big hearing on Tuesday. More to come on that, folks. Right after Thanksgiving, it's going to be front and center. Let's go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Diane calling in from Nevada, Online 3. Diane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Diane.
Hi. Jay, from a legal standpoint, are there not protections in our Constitution to stop someone who's doing these things?
That's where the courts come in. There's two checks here, Diane. That's a really good question. One is the check of Congress. They're the control of the power of the purse. And when you've got a control of the power of the purse, which they do, they could not fund something. And then very quickly, walk Diane through what that will mean.
Okay, on December 11th, Congress does have to issue more funds to keep the government operational. But remember that the Republicans' first chance to actually issue more funding is going to be for the next fiscal year. So that's going to happen next year. They can pass a series of 13 bills to fund the government. We think that they should pass 12 of them really without much change. The only one that we are saying that they should make a change in is the Department of Homeland Security funding, which would authorize several of the actions that the president laid out. Congress doesn't have to issue a single dime for what the president wants starting next fiscal year. That's what we're asking for.
Well, and I think so. There you have a very specific request. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-684-3110. I just had Logan pull for me and he got it. This is my grandfather's petition for naturalization. We come back in the next segment. I'm going to talk about this because I think this is important, folks, to understand how it really is supposed to work. All right, taking your calls. 800-684-3110. Who's next, Jordan?
Yeah, let's go to Mary Ellen, Illinois, online 4. Mary Ellen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Good morning, yes. The reason I'm calling is I heard that the Department of Immigration is funded through the fees that they collect, and it's outside of Congress's so-called authority.
I don't think that's correct. Than, you probably know the particulars, because there's a specific authorization for Homeland Security, which is where they come
out. This is an argument that's going to go forward because there are some fees collected. But listen, I'll just say it very simply, and you don't really have to go past this. The people that are going to review these applications, they are paid through the funds that are passed in that Department of Homeland Security bill.
Right.
So if you don't let that money go forward, that whole application process grinds to a halt.
There's a great piece in the Wall Street Journal that talks about the fact that the president saying there's some kind of discretion here is bogus. How are you going to have discretion with potentially 4.7 million applicants? I mean, that's where his whole legal premise is based on something that cannot actually happen. That's the real problem with all of this. It's based on something that cannot actually happen. All right, back to the phones we go.
Let's go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Gary calling in from Alaska, online 5. Gary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, good morning, Jay. My question is this. You know, there's a lot of things going on, and there's laws in place in our country that, like you say, the president's made to uphold. However, he hasn't done that. Is there anything from a citizen's standpoint that we can sue the government?
No, it's going to be very hard to have standing, Gary, to sue the government as an individual citizen. Now, we're looking at all the options here. But what you need to do, and you could do that through us, and that is you got to sign these petitions and have your voice heard, the collective voice of 10 or 20, 30,000 people on a hearing that's going to take place Tuesday, that we can get that information out, that, you know, 30,000 or 40,000 people, whatever the number is, have contacted us, will be dramatic. So, folks, what we need you to do right now, and Gary's asking, what can citizens do? Sign on to these petitions so that the funding of this does not go forward. It's a very simple and direct solution. You could do that at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And I urge you to do that. It really can make a big difference in how all of this comes down. The funding is a critical mechanism here. And, Jordan, really, if we can lock the funding up, that stops this action dead in its tracks.
That's absolutely right, and that's why we've got to speak out now. It's a critical time, and if you want to speak out, folks, you call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, and you can also sign the petition online at aclj.org. But we're talking here about long-term changes in how the presidency operates and how the executive branch operates. We know this is a president who has tried to transform those powers, but at the end of the day, we've got to do what is right long-term as well and look at the bigger implications here, and that's why it's so important, again, to take a stand now. Don't wait 6 months from now. Do it today.
Well, we're going to encourage people to do just that. I'm going to take one call very quickly here. Let's take Jacqueline's call very quickly from Colorado Line 6. Hi, Jacqueline.
Good morning.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hello there. I don't really have a question. I have a comment more.
Okay.
This whole immigration thing just really gets on my last nerve. They're not even afraid of INS anymore.
Well, it's because INS does not have the authority it used to have to do anything. And if you don't think they have authority now, just wait until this full occupation or executive action goes into effect. I mean, if you think there's an issue now, just wait till they have no discretion and are basically told to stand down, which is exactly what it is. When we come back, I'm going to walk you through a legal immigration process and how it's supposed to work. And I know this firsthand because it was my own grandfather. I've got the papers. Logan was able to find the papers on this. And I'm going to go through those with you. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to that petition. Let me urge you to do that. Again, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Don't forget also, we are in a matching challenge campaign. We really could use your help. ACLJ.org, any amount you donate is tax deductible. We get a matching gift for it. ACLJ.org. Like us on Facebook. Share us on Facebook. I've got a page. The ACLJ has a page. Follow Jordan on Twitter. Twitter.com/JordanSeculo. And even the band now has a Facebook page, J Seculo Band. But again, if you want to sign on that petition, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the J. Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. In what can only be described as a historic power grab, President Obama acted alone, bypassing Congress, turning his back on the Constitution and the rule of law. He's moving forward with an unconstitutional immigration plan, changing the law by executive fiat, something that he does not have the power to do. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why drastic action is needed to stop stop the president's unlawful immigration order. Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I asked during the break for Logan to go do a little research and see if you could, because I keep saying this, and it's true, I'm the grandson of a Russian immigrant to the United States. And Logan went back and did some research, and Amanda did it as well. And I'm going to have Logan walk you through it. I'm actually holding in my hand my grandfather's petition here.
That's right, yeah. Really, with it's amazing what the internet can do so quickly. And with just a few minutes of signing on to a website like Ancestry.com or .org, we were able to quickly find the petition for naturalization and the naturalization
order,
essentially certificate. Yep. And it's not just a text, like the original document scanned in, still with the tape on it and everything. And it's pretty phenomenal to look at. And it's from what years there?
Yeah, this is the naturalization order came through on January 27th. I'll read it to everybody. It says, Sam Sekula, residing at 324 Montauk Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, age 29 years, date of order of admission, January 27th, 1931, certified on January 27th, 1931, U.S. District Court at Brooklyn, New York, petition number 13347, and it's got my grandfather's signature, Sam Sekulow, and that the naturalization, so that's the order, you have the actual
essentially the application, petition for naturalization. It looks like that came in 1928, I believe, so it's pretty amazing what you can find. It still is a process that took a couple of years there, but it's pretty amazing to take a look at it.
But that is the legal process. And so look, where would people go? If you're interested in finding this out, this is not an ad, folks. This is who we use.
We have nothing to do with the company, but my family uses Ancestry.com. You've seen the website all over the television, everything, and we use it. And it's pretty phenomenal stuff what you can find.
Well, this is thank you, Logan. This is the actual order. I mean, I'm holding my grandfather's petition for naturalization, as Logan read, and it is dated the first day of June, 1924, and then 14th day of June of 1929 was when it was attested. And then also the order came in. It took 2 years. Now, my grandfather had already been there. Understand this, folks. He'd already been in the United States for 14 years. Learned to speak English, was from Russia, actually puts in the petition. This is interesting. I'm glad Logan found this. And Amanda found this. This is great because it says, where are you from? You reside in, and it was Republic of Poland and or State of Russia, because there was so much. This was obviously prior to World War II, and after World War I, there was a lot of shifting down there. But this goes to I am in favor of immigration. I'm the product of it. But it is fascinating to take a look at this stuff and see how it's supposed to work. Now, what the president's doing is kind of circumventing that whole process, and it would be fine if it was congressional action. I'd be in favor of comprehensive immigration reform. But the information, Logan, again, the information's out there. If you want to find out about your ancestors, we don't have to give the site again. The information's on the web.
Oh, very easy to access as long as you know their names and essentially just very little information about them. You can find all of these original documents and proof of all these things. It's pretty outstanding.
It is. And this is, like Logan said, this is the original documents. All right, Jordan, let's go back to the phones here. But, folks, I'm holding those in my hand here. I've got the actual documents. It's pretty amazing when you see it. Thanks, Logan.
Ed's calling in from Kansas online. One with a question, a comment on Saeed Abedini, the American pastor in prison in Iran. Ed, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Ed.
Yes. I also had something I wanted to mention regarding withholding the funding, not only for the executive order, but also to temporarily withhold the from what I believe, $700 million in sanctions and relief that was going to Iran until Pastor Saeed is aboard an airplane down for the United States.
Jordan, what's the latest there?
Well, we have extended, and when I say we, the United States has extended the nuclear talks. The deadline was on yesterday, on Monday. They announced previously that they would extend the talks to at least March 1st, where there has to be some general framework for a nuclear deal, and then July 1st for an ultimate deal. I'll tell you, in Iran, you have the supreme leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, basically saying that we have brought, the Islamic Republic has brought its America to its knees. and the world to its knees with the how they got through the talks. And then the president of Iran has said that it was a significant victory to get to this point where they got the extension. And Ed is right. It's $700 million a month in sanctions relief. And that's just from the United States. That's not including the UK, France, Russia, China, and Germany, where Iran is also receiving sanctions relief. So we're talking about almost $1 billion a month just from the United States.
It's pretty unbelievable. Be in prayer for Pastor Syed, especially he's another Thanksgiving away from his family, another time away from his family. Jordan is undertaking a major trip coming up in just about 48 hours overseas. I'm not going to go into the details until he's there, but I will tell you this. He's going to be meeting with a number of leaders and a number of key religious leaders. And, Jordan, I know that the Pastor Syed issue, you're going to be with people from all over the world. You're going to be bringing that up.
Absolutely. And you know, we don't rest at any moment to try and bring up Syed's situation, work with new people on Syed's case. And ultimately here we have the United States across the table from Iran, and those negotiations are not over. So it's not as if Syed was abandoned yesterday. The talks continue. You know, these are the first talks with Iran in 39 years where you have face-to-face dialogue. Of course, we believe that Syed is caught up in that to some extent, that it would be very naive to think he's not. But the talks continue, so we have to continue the pressure on our own government to bring Syed home and work with others as well.
All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Who's next, Jordan? By the way, folks, we're here for another half hour. Remember that, and you want to stay tuned. We've got a lot to talk, including updates on the IRS case as well.
Yeah, let's go to Johnny in Tennessee on line three. Johnny, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Johnny.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Secular?
Good.
My question is, when the Republican Party talks about comprehensive immigration reform,
yep,
they talk about filling the borders and then legalizing those that are here, and I have real issues with that.
Well, it's not necessarily a grant of amnesty. I mean, I don't think anybody's talking about blanket amnesty. I'll let Than address that, but there's a process. I mean, you're not going to be able to deport. I mean, John, you just got to be realistic. You're not deporting 12 or 15 or 18 million people. That's just not going to happen. So let's get these people that are here legally, do the right background checks. I'm in favor of all that. Get them paying taxes like all of us do so the services aren't rendered with nothing coming back out. What is the kind of the real plan here, Van?
Well, I mean, there are differences in the Republican Party, but this is honestly something we've talked about all week on this broadcast. I mean, there is a strong move in the Republican Party led by Speaker Boehner to move a comprehensive bill. And actually, I think that's why the president rushed forward, because I think he knew that the Republicans were going to put a bill on his desk. You know, what that bill would look like, it remains to be seen. But the real hang-up there for the Democrats, Jay, is on that Border Patrol piece. They were willing to send money for Border Patrol, but they were not willing to agree to any sort of metrics or measurable mile markers. That is what Speaker Boehner was for. That is what he wanted in his bill, and that is what the president opposed.
Well, and Jordan, I guess that the bottom line here is that there a lot of us, and I'm one of them, believes we need a comprehensive reform here, but that just it's the procedure upon which this is being done that is so troubling.
That's right. I mean, you got a situation here where we would be fundamentally transforming the way the presidency is able to operate in the future. Republican or Democrat, it won't matter. They will have this new kind of power that they could assert. And so it takes away the power of Congress. It takes away what the legislative branch is supposed to be doing. And it puts into question our laws. How do you have faith in a legal system when you're not sure if a president's going to really fundamentally alter the application of that to these huge groups of people? So it's a very important issue that we all speak up on right now.
We're going to do that, folks. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on that petition. Again, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Also, I want to encourage you here, folks, sign up for Facebook. Follow us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Mine, the band's, Jordan's. You can do that as well. And, of course, follow Jordan on Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSecklin. Don't forget, matching challenge campaign. We're in the middle of it right now. We need your help. ACLJ.org.
Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
music here on our broadcast. Go and like our J Secular Band Facebook page. We'll be posting the actual videos of these songs that you're hearing as our bumpers. So we encourage you to do that as well. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the president's executive order. It's going to be big news next week, a big hearing Tuesday in the Judiciary Committee. We'll have more details on that. It's going to be a big hearing, and we will let you know some more details. But I will tell you, folks, this issue of the power grab of the presidency is going to be front and center. Let's go right back to our phones. We've got a lot of people that have been holding. Jordan, who do we have next?
Teresa calling in from Indiana on line 5. Teresa, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi. It states that our founding fathers have written a clause in the Declaration of Independence regarding the despotism of government as is happening now. And it gives us, the people, the right, and it states the duty to alter or abolish that government and to set up new guards for our future security.
Well, I don't think any of us are calling for the overthrow of the United States government. I think what we have to look for is, how do we check an executive that has gotten too much power or is misusing the power, may not rise to the level, certainly doesn't rise to the level of impeachment, but it rises to the level of a constitutional crisis. And the president, what Jordan and Than, I think, are saying is that the president knew this and that's why he did it.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I don't think that this is done by accident. I don't think it's just about the immigration issue or just about the deferral of prosecutions and trying to deal with something that the president didn't deal with his first term. That's certainly part of it. But it's a longer-term strategy. I think President Obama wants a legacy. If his legacy is to fundamentally change and alter presidential power in a way that gives more power to the president, and he has done things for his constituencies, they're looking long-term political victories down the road. It may sound crass to talk that way, but honestly, this is about politics, it's about votes, and it's about future elections as well.
Yeah, and I've got, when I read these quotes from the president, he says, I'm a president, not a king. The reality is, though, Than, that's the problem. He cannot justify his previous statements under any circumstance here.
No doubt about it. And I think even the people who are enabling the president and who are arguing in favor of this move, there will come a day, Jay, where they will not agree with the person sitting in the White House. And this power would be available to those future presidents, too. I mean, it's no accident that our founder said 535 members are going to write our laws, not one executive. That's not what is happening here. But just quickly to our caller, we have remedies available to us. You don't have to talk about an overthrow of the government. Remedies available. We're going to start pursuing those next week.
You're not kidding. All right, Cindy's calling from Virginia. She's on line 6. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
One of the things that I had thought about when I heard about the president's action, and you touched on it briefly yesterday, is the kind of the long-term implications to the illegal aliens after President Obama is gone.
Yeah, because I think what Jordan said, Cindy, is so right, and I'll let him repeat it, and that is there's not a substantive right other than the right to work, but there's not a conclusion to this. This doesn't solve the conclusion, right, Jordan? I mean, they're
right.
Left
no
in
one,
kind of a bad state.
No one should feel safe in this situation, because ultimately it can be changed by a president, not repealed. So it's not a repeal process of a legal process which takes votes in Congress, then going through the president and all of that. This would just be changed by a declaration by the president in the future. So you can't put any real faith that this will remain the way the law is enforced in the land. Not the law of the land, but the way the law is enforced in the land.
All right, folks, we've got a lot more ahead. We're going to give you updates on the IRS cases as well and updates on Syed Abedini's case. There's a lot more ahead. Stay tuned. Again, if you want to stand with us and fight this presidential overreach, you can do it at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. That's an easy way to do it. Also, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. You could do that at ACLJ.org. You can also call in your pledge at 877-989-2255. Our book, Rise of ISIS, in bookstores everywhere. We encourage you to get copies and copies for your friends. And don't forget to like our Facebook pages, folks. Very important to engage on social media. So it's mine, ACLJ's, and follow Jordan on Twitter, twitter.com/Jordan Secular. And if you enjoy the music, you should like our J Secular Band Facebook page as well. We'll talk to you in a moment.
Thank you.
In what can only be described as a historic power grab, President Obama acted alone, bypassing Congress, turning his back on the Constitution and the rule of law. He's moving forward with an unconstitutional immigration plan, changing the law by executive fiat, something that he does not have the power to do. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why drastic action is needed to stop the president's unlawful immigration order. Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We continue to talk about the president's executive order on the issue of immigration, folks. And Jay was actually on TV live with Sean Hannity the night of the president's speech announcing this action. And we thought it would be a good idea to play for you Jay's initial reaction right after the announcement was made, analyzing the constitutional ramifications with Sean. Again, he was on live right after the announcement. I wanted you to have a chance to hear that interview. So let's go ahead and roll it. It's Jay with Sean Hannity, the night of the announcement of the executive order.
Let me turn it over to Peter Johnson, Jr. By the way, you're a Democrat.
Yes.
Is what he did tonight lawful or unlawful, unconstitutional?
Openly defiant of the United States Constitution.
Based on his own words.
Absolutely. Tonight, the President of the United States says it's about who we are as a country. So if anyone looks at this presidency or this executive branch, who we are as a country is a country that doesn't value the Constitution, that doesn't value the separation of powers, that says I can nullify any act of Congress anytime I want. And if you want to have a better law, pass one that's different and better than the law that I'm enacting as the President of the United States. The President of the United States does not and should not and cannot enact laws.
Okay, so this
11
is
presidents, wait, Sean, 11 presidents have done this. He did
not
make
true.
A law.
That is absolutely positively
that's not
wrong.
We'll get to that in a minute.
But look, I know those are the talking points.
And
I know the president mentioned it. Jay, I'll let you handle it first. Go ahead.
Well, that's just not correct. What Michael's saying is incorrect. When they rely on President Bush and President Reagan, there was underlying legislation that served as the basis upon which the executive order was issued. That's constitutional. What is not constitutional is providing a substantive right, which the president has done, will do tomorrow when he signs the executive order, when there is, in fact, no underlying law to support it. And you'll see this reliance, Sean, on the 1986 law that President Reagan used to issue an executive order. What people are failing to recognize, that particular law applied to people that came to the United States prior to 1982. That's what the law was involved with in that particular case. So the president does not have the authority to do what he has now about to do tomorrow. And the second point that I think is really critical, and Peter was touching on this, I mean, this idea that the president can just circumvent the United States Congress, that's where the concern should be. No matter what your position is, and Michael, I'm a grandson of an immigrant, so I'm sympathetic to legal immigration. My grandfather came here legally. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what what your position is on the substantive issue of immigration. The President of the United States doesn't get to act like a king or a monarch and just determine by, decree how we're going to run our country under the laws that are existing. That's the role of Congress.
Michael, you didn't address the President's own words. I want you to address, he made the case stronger than I ever could, that he doesn't have the authority to do this. Wait, you cannot ignore his own statements. There are 25 separate statements. We will be playing them in the course of the night tonight. That he said he doesn't have the legal authority to act this way, but yet he did it. How should the American people interpret that?
This president has deported over 2 million people.
Not answering my question again. This is too important.
Give me a chance.
You're a lawyer. Please help
us. Sean, give me a chance. At least they're not putting pictures of people running fences behind me, which is usually what happens here. Look, this president is not making law. And truthfully, every president has the authority to issue executive orders, and it's Congress's right to go make legislation
based
if they
law.
Want to do it. The bottom line here is he is not creating new statuses, and we are now letting the illegal obfuscate the legal immigration.
What do you mean he's not creating a new status?
He's not
absolutely
creating.
Is creating
he's giving
a new
work
status.
Permits
he's
to people that are not here legally. Giving a work authorization temporarily for 3 years.
All right, let me go to
he's
your fellow,
not give
fellow
more
panelists.
People.
And he's new, my new brother in the law, but I think you're absolutely wrong on this. He's created a standard.
Yep.
He's created a new law. He's created a new ability in the presidency of the United States to wipe away 30, 40, 50 years of immigration laws in this country and say, you haven't acted, I want this done,
what would you
I'm
do?
Doing this,
what would
and
you
if
do?
You don't do it, this is going to stand. And
you know,
then
but Sean,
attaches
the
some
timing.
Moral imperative
one
to it that's absolutely inappropriate. Emotionally, we all want the right thing. We want the ability for people to be happy in this country.
You know, moral imperatives are not the role of the president to determine when there's Congress that's in place here. I don't think you can simply ignore Congress, which is what's happening here. So while you morally may sympathize with what the president's trying to do, the way to do that would be get legislation through, which, by
there
the way, the president had the ability to do
Washington.
For
I'm
a period of time
off,
where he decided when he had the House and the Senate and didn't do it.
There is
that
a
was the president's choice. The choice
right
he made.
Now,
so whatever the, you can't put the moral issues here. This is a question of constitutional law, and that's the real issue, and the president doesn't have that authority.
Let me go to what the president's words are, because I hear what you're going with this. The system's broken. I've waited long enough. That's the argument that the president's been making now leading up to this. I don't care whether the system is broken or not. I don't care if his policy is better or not. It doesn't really matter. It has nothing to do right. Undocumented immigrants. He admit broke the law. The law has consequences. We have a system. Don't we have co-equal branches of government, separation of powers?
Not tonight.
Gentlemen, we are a nation of laws, and right
Probably
now
not.
The law does not allow an engineer to be sponsored or petitioned by an American company without taking 12 years from a country.
He does not, the issue
so
is not
change
issue
the law.
Is, the issue is the
Get
rule
the law changed.
Of law.
The president
the
can't do it by fiat.
The rule of law is more important than any particular political
what
ideology or preference of a president of the United States.
What about
and
people?
We will suffer this for generations to
no.
come.
Michael,
in this,
would you
in
rather
this
you're
have,
making,
would
an,
you
rather Michael, you're making a completely emotional argument here, not based on law. You're making an emotional argument here that
argument
is not
here.
Based on law. And the president doesn't get to just go through emotions and pass a law.
This is
that's
not
the role
emotional.
Of Congress.
These are
that's
people
the problem
here. That
it's the underlying constitutional issue is the significant issue.
And they're not given the deference and respect and the dignity of being
Michael,
able to be here.
Michael,
they're buying orange juice
Michael.
And they're living here and they're making our beds. What is it? We're not.
That's
we're
the emotional argument that Jay's talking about. But here's the question:
we don't have a law about making
on,
beds being a right
law,
of citizenship in the United States.
We currently have a law of the land. That law was passed by Congress, signed into law by a president of the United States. Tonight, this president bypassed Congress. We have separate. Listen, you're an attorney. I shouldn't have to tell you this.
Law changes,
wait a minute. We have separation of powers
change.
And co-equal branches of government.
Correct. Law changes when Congress passes
like
a law.
He's acting like an emperor.
All right, guess what?
And
gentlemen,
a monarch.
Okay. Everyone had their shot at a Democrat and a former mayor and an immigration lawyer. Let's tomorrow now give Congress the microphone and the lights on them.
But
and let's see what
the
they're going to do.
That's
let them make the
standard.
Rules. They
this is,
make
this
laws.
Is not
the president
exactly.
executes the law.
They make the laws.
Correct.
The president's
and he's executing
law.
Within his authority.
No.
They can't find a law firm that's going
what
to
law?
Sue the president.
What law?
Peter,
what
there's
law,
no law
is the president
there's
issuing
no
an executive order on,
point.
Michael?
What went on with Reagan and
law?
Bush was based upon laws passed passed by Congress, signed by the president. This is a law passed by the president, signed by the president, enforced by the president, dictated by the president. This is the president's law. That is not American law, and that's not the U.S.
Let me go to Jay.
Michael, that... Yeah. Here's the fundamental problem. Michael is arguing, and I'm sure his heart is sincere, an emotional argument that we need to help people that are here, that may have come here illegally, but we want to help them.
Too.
So
it's
your sympathy can be there. But the question that we have to ask, Michael, and you know this, you're a good lawyer, the question we have to ask is there a constitutional basis upon which the president can issue an executive order under Article 1 of the United States Constitution, under Article 2, what's the roles here? And that's a separate of powers issue. And what you're ignoring is there is no underlying law that the president is basing the executive order on. And at the end of the day, you can be as sympathetic as you want to people that are here illegally. Fix the law. Don't have the president do it by fiat.
I'll answer his question. Immigration is a shared authority constitutionally, came out of the Haussiades case, and with the president. It's a joint responsibility where the president executes the laws.
Remember Youngstown Steel. Presidents have tried this before. It doesn't work out so well.
And has not made laws. This president may be late and may be politically astute at this time, but this president is now stepping up and is going to fix a broken system. And we're all correct, gentlemen. Congress really has the authority
to
make
an election.
Law. It's up to Congress tomorrow morning. And let's all run down to Washington and see what these people are going to do. They will not move. The new trust given to a Republican Congress, they're not going to move.
You've got it backwards. The president, Peter, in 2009 and 10, had a Democratic House and
Senate.
And couldn't get it done.
Hang on.
I agree.
He didn't get it done, but he doesn't have the ability to do it this way. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you agree with Jonathan Turley that this is now bringing this country to a constitutional tipping point? Is it that serious?
I hope it does not. And I hope that the president's calmer angels prevail on this because
it's too late.
He's way off base. And even a first-year law student would understand, based upon the Constitution, the separation of powers, what his true abilities are in the Constitution, that he has exceeded it. And he's exceeded in a way for personal political gain. We owe more to Americans. We owe even more as well to the foreign immigrants to this country.
Sean,
there should be a path, but this is not the path. He's polluted their path.
We cannot unfairly reward. They will be rewarded because they get to stay. That is the reward of breaking the law. We're out of time. I know you want to talk more, but this legal question is, to me, the single issue in this debate. This is it. All right, guys, thank you both.
Again, folks, that was Jay on with Sean Hannity the night the president announced this executive order. If you want to stand with us and call on members of Congress to not fund these unconstitutional acts, to simply withhold the funding for the very narrow provisions that the president announced last week, I want you to call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. Fund the rest of the government. We're not talking about a government shutdown, but don't issue funding for the acts that are unconstitutional. 877-989-2255.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
In what can only be described as a historic power grab, President Obama acted alone, bypassing Congress, turning his back on the Constitution and the rule of law. He's moving forward with an unconstitutional immigration plan, changing the law by executive fiat, something that he does not have the power to do. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why drastic action is needed to stop the president's unlawful immigration order. Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. I want to play for you a couple of interviews that Jordan did over the weekend. First of all, he was on Friday on Fox News with Julian Epstein debating the president's immigration executive order. We've been talking a lot about this. Jordan had a chance on Friday to give his reaction. And then yesterday, he was on Fox and Friends in the morning talking about this new revelation that they have found another 30,000 of Lois Lerner's emails. We knew this day would come. There will be more of them. They will eventually find them. They are not lost forever. But another 30,000 of Lois Lerner's emails have been discovered. Jordan was on Fox and Friends yesterday to talk about it. So I want to play both of those interviews for you now. First, from Friday, Jordan on Fox News, and then Jordan on Fox and Friends. Let's go ahead and roll them.
All right, Jordan, I'll start with you. So is the president just doing what all presidents before him have done?
Absolutely not. You know, this is a president who is trying to act like he's doing what presidents have done in the past without the legislative authority to do so. We're going to hear a lot of talk about Reagan. We're going to hear a lot of talk about Bush 41. The truth is there was a law then, 1986. They were acting on their authority under the law. There are specific provisions in that law that let them do these limited grants, deferred prosecutions for specific individuals that Congress wanted to cover, and by 1990 did cover. Their executive orders were no longer necessary. Where is the law the last three decades? Nearly three decades, we don't have another comprehensive reform. So unless President Obama is going to be pointing back to a law which is about people who came to the U.S. before 1982, then he's got no legislative authority to do this.
All right, Julian, he himself said that. We've got 25 times here that he said, I'm not an emperor, I can't do it, I can't do an end run around Congress, it's not legal, I can't defend it, I can't do it. Tonight, he's going to say, I can do it.
Well, it depends what it means when you're speaking there. And to Mr. Sekulow's point, I mean, Bush 41 granted deferred action for 1.4 million without any statutory authority
whatsoever.
How
many people
whatsoever.
That actually, though, took up that option?
Please, I didn't interrupt you.
Okay.
We're talking about over 5 million tonight.
Okay, well, right,
I think
we'll
we can have a better conversation if we don't interrupt each
other. We'll take turns. All right,
so
Julian,
Bush granted action for 1.4 million people without statutory authority. So almost every president since Eisenhower has done this. The statute, in fact, the INS statute,
the 1986
makes pretty
law,
clear.
As I said, Julian, did
Jordan,
give that
Jordan,
authority.
Jordan, hold on. Just hold on. I'll give you a chance to respond.
Jordan, I just don't think it helps
Jordan,
to keep interrupting me.
Gentlemen. Jordan, I'll give you a chance to fully respond. So let's let Julian finish.
I think the immigration statute is pretty clear that the president does have this authority. I think the Supreme Court has interpreted presidents as having broad authority when it comes to deferred action. I think, as I said, every president pretty much since Eisenhower has done this. Now, Jordan may want to make the argument that this is overstepping the authority. I think you can make that argument. I think this is testing the outer limits of the president's authority. But I think most legal experts believe that they will lose that case if they go into court. This is a temporary action. This is a question of the president deciding, prioritizing which illegal immigrants, which undocumented immigrants he is, in fact, going to deport. This president has been deporting a record number of undocumented immigrants, 400,000 a year. It's all Congress has authorized. So, yes, you can make the legal argument. I think you can make a coherent legal argument. Is it likely to win in the courts? I think very unlikely to win in the courts.
Just factually, when you look at the numbers of deportations, and Julian, you mentioned they're extremely high at this point, we're told, and it's strictly factual information, that a huge chunk of those is just turning people around at the border and saying, turn around and go back. That's not what most people think of when they think of deportations. All right. Jordan, response.
Well, this is not just about the deferred prosecutions. This is also about a substantive right that's planned to be granted by the president tonight, the right to work. So we're not just talking about the president saying who we're going to deport right now. We're talking about the president on his own, without any legislative authority, saying now this group has the right to work in the United States. And I don't know, Julian, where you can take those other precedents and say, okay, deportations and deciding who to prosecute and that kind of discretion. And now you can take that same power as the president and decide what group of people gets a right to work in the United States, what group is covered, what group isn't covered, without any legislative authority.
So I would just point out to Jordan, I would just, you know, again, I would just study your history a little bit closer. President Bush 43 gave work permits to undocumented immigrants.
Those
after
were in times
Katrina.
Of emergency. I think people after, would say the president has that power.
But that's in the INS, that's in the ICE rules and regulations that were in place before Obama took office. You just claimed in the first segment that no president has ever done anything as sweeping without clear statutory authority. I gave you an exact example.
I mean, this is 5 million people.
I gave you
we're
an example.
About,
Jordan, please stop interrupting me. I gave you an example of
stop
Bush 41 doing it.
Stop telling me that I'm not right,
it.
Though, because you're talking about example of emergency situations.
Right,
that's executive
with the,
power.
Bush 41
that's
was not.
Gentlemen?
Bush 41 was not an emergency.
Gentlemen?
I gave you an example. You didn't respond to it. Your facts are wrong here.
Okay.
And your
clearly,
was under
clearly
the 86
we are
law.
Going to have to agree to disagree.
This is kind of an amazing story. All of a sudden, 30,000 emails surface. What do you think we're going to find once they're read?
That's right. In 6 months after Commissioner of the IRS John Koskett had made those remarks about basically them all being destroyed, there was always talk that some forensics teams could find the tapes, but the DOJ said it was just too onerous for them. The FBI wasn't doing it. Here we have the Treasury Inspector General during their review of this scandal who ultimately put the forensics team together that uncovered these tapes and is now going through. They informed Congress and the committees that have been investigating the IRS scandal that they believe they've got these emails. They're not 100% sure if it will cover all of the missing lowest learner emails. There could be some missing ones in there, and it'll still take some time for them to go through the decoding process. But the whole idea that these were missing has now been debunked. They weren't missing. They just didn't want us to see them.
Yeah, apparently they weren't recycled, whatever that means. So once they are decoded, as you said, what happens next?
Well, then the investigators are able to, they first get decoded, then they've got to take out the private taxpayer info so that individuals' taxpayer information isn't exposed to even congressional committees that don't have oversight to see that. Then it will go to the congressional committees. And I really do believe, Tucker, what this does, every time, we're fighting it in federal court, but every time it kind of comes to a point where you think, what else can Congress do, especially the new Congress that's coming in, a Republican Senate especially, but new leadership of the House committees as well that have been investigating it. What else can they really do here? And now they've got 30,000 plus pages of documents coming their way of emails likely that were missing during the key time. This goes back to 2009 to 2011, when the groups we represent were actually being targeted, and we still represent a group who's been waiting 5 years to get a response from the IRS.
Well, it sounds like they could be waiting a little bit longer, because you just said it needs to be decoded, and then it needs to be scrubbed of classified information. I mean, those are opportunities for the administration to slow walk this even more, no?
I think there is to a point, though. The Inspector General's office has been much better than the IRS. The IRS has been impeding this investigation with help from their friends at the Department of Justice. The Inspector General's been doing what they can and obviously had the resources to go and recover these tapes. But again, I'm kind of hoping that this is for the new Congress anyways. There's not a lot of time left with this current Congress. The new Congress has said, even Senator McConnell, who will be the majority leader of the U.S. Senate, has said this will be a priority, and investigating this will be a priority. So there'll be fresh information, fresh eyes on it, and new committees with new staffs to try and help all of us get to the bottom of just how involved Lois Lerner was with other officials in the government. That's really what we're hoping to see in these emails, because it was the key beginning of the time period.
This is going to be so interesting. I know you're going to be on it. This will not be the last conversation we have on the subject, I have the feeling. Jordan, thanks a lot for coming on this morning.
Thanks, Tucker.
Folks, again, that was Jordan on Fox and Friends. We will, of course, keep you posted on the developments in the ongoing IRS scandal and the ongoing cover-up. But today, folks, if you want to stand with us and call on members of Congress to not fund the unconstitutional executive order on immigration and amnesty that the president issued, I want you to call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.